and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. Today we are joined by Delphine Nakache. She's a professor of law at the School of International Development and Global Studies at the University of Ottawa and co-author of the IRPP study, The Canadian Temporary Foreign Worker Program, Do Short-Term Economic Needs Prevail Over Human Rights Concerns? Welcome, Professor Nakache.
Hello, good morning.
Please start by telling us a little bit about your study and how it came to be. What prompted you to explore the conditions of temporary foreign workers in Canada?
Well, actually, you know, I was previously a professor of law at the University of Alberta. And of course, this is the province where we have seen the highest increase in terms of temporary foreign workers. So I certainly started looking at this issue, and I've realized that there were not many studies looking at the legal protection of temporary foreign workers. It was more in terms of their economic integration, but not so much their legal status. So actually, I've decided to start working on that topic, and Alberta certainly was the good place to start. And also, what really struck me right from the beginning is that what we call temporary foreign workers, actually, they are not really temporary. So really, the question was, how temporary are temporary foreign workers? Because when you look at it, and this is really the starting point of our analysis, even if labor migration is perceived as a temporary phenomenon, there is a need for such workers, and this need is ongoing. And actually, temporary foreign workers have become a pervasive feature of the Canadian labor market. So given this, I really wanted to know what happens to those people who actually know there is some job for them here in Canada, and who would like to make their way to Canada, perhaps not on a temporary basis only, given the fact that there is some job for them. And I was actually interested in looking at the difference in legal treatment between lower skilled and higher skilled workers. So this is how we came to that study.
What were your principal findings?
Well, actually, it's quite interesting, if I may say, because there are different ways of approaching the topic. So we used three policy perspectives, and we wanted to know where those Canada fit within those policy perspectives. So the three of them are, first, is the migrant offered the opportunity to stay and integrate? If the migrant wants to stay, certainly not all of them wants to stay, but if the migrant wants to stay, what is the opportunity for them to stay and integrate? So first, the migrant is offered the opportunity to stay and integrate. Second, the country of employment is indifferent to the migrant's future position in society. And third, the aim of the country is to prevent the integration of migrants. The country of employment is indifferent to the migrant's future position in society. And temporary foreign workers are limited from participation, integration, and a full protection because of the practical and legal parameters placed around their employment-related rights. However, clearly, in the field of access to permanent residency, skilled workers are offered the opportunity to access permanent residency, but not the lower-skilled ones. So actually, we looked at the employment-related rights of temporary foreign workers and also the opportunities to access permanent residency.
Mm-hmm. Together with your co-author, Paula Kinoshita, you make a number of recommendations, among them to restructure the temporary foreign work permit to allow migrants greater mobility. Why is this desirable?
It is desirable because actually it is desirable for every key player in the temporary foreign worker program. It is desirable for the migrants themselves because, for example, when they are working for, let's say, abusive employers, or that they are not happy with their employment conditions, which, you know, might well happen. It is important for them to be able to move to another job, you know, to really be able to perform their job within the best conditions. Also, it is a win-win situation for employers. Because in the field of industry, for example, we know that employees are moving from one job to the other, industries, construction as well. And then sometimes employers may need workers for one job in the construction for 3 months, and then for another job in the construction for 3 more months. And so the fact that those temporary foreign workers cannot move from one employer to the other is certainly problematic at that level. Also, in the field of protection, this is something which is problematic. Because, for example, as you may know, temporary foreign workers pay. They pay for EI, employment insurance. They contribute, therefore, to, you know, through their taxes, to insurances, among others, to healthcare, etc., etc. But when it's time to benefit from those benefits, they cannot, unfortunately, not because they are not able to work, for example, but because they are legally barred from working for another employer because of those strict limitations on the work permit. So we are in a situation, actually, where we have people able and willing to work in Canada, but legally barred from working for another employer because of the strict limitation on the work permit.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about how you gathered the information that you highlight in your study. I know that you did a series of interviews that were conducted in the spring of 2009. Is that correct?
It is correct, actually. So what we did, deep documentary research, but we went to the conclusion that documentary research was not enough, because if there is one field in immigration law where there is a huge discrepancy between the theory and between the reality, between the law and the practice, this is really in the field of temporary labor migration. So we were certainly reading a few things here and there. We were certainly looking at the legislation, but the more we were discussing with people on the ground from, you know, the government or from NGOs or from other places, Holt told us that the reality was quite different from what we could read, for example, in the legislation or in the manuals. So we found it extremely important to clarify our research and to clarify our research results, but more particularly, and to make sure that we were on the right track. So that's the reason why we started with those interviews, because really we felt that we were not well equipped to address the topic only from a purely, if I may say, academic level, looking at only the documentation, actually.
Mm-hmm. Just finally, you also recommend the adoption of a policy designed to better integrate temporary foreign workers. Can you just give us a sense of what such a policy would look like?
Really, the idea is the following. Once again, not everybody, let's make it clear, wants to stay in Canada for years and years and want to become permanent resident. So certainly, for some temporary foreign workers, this program may be working well in the sense where it may be really temporary in its nature. So they come for 2 years, 3 years eventually, 4 years even, and then they can go back to their country of origin and, you know, they are okay with it. Our concern was for those who really spend years in Canada and who would like to contribute more to the society. And in that case, it's important for them that the years they've spent in Canada is something which is recognized by the government, and certainly if there is job for them, if there is the opportunity for them to integrate, why not give them the possibility for them to become permanent residents and then eventually future citizens. So in terms of integration, what we are recommending actually is that for those who would like to become citizens in this country, who would like to contribute more than through their labor force to this country, there would be some more opportunity for them to do it. And right now the problem is that there is a discrepancy between higher skilled workers and lower skilled workers. Higher skilled workers can access permanent residency from within, but lower skilled workers cannot. And this, to us, is certainly problematic because clearly there is a need for both jobs in lower skilled positions and jobs in higher skilled positions. And by the way, the increase in the number of temporary foreign workers has been seen especially in the field of lower skilled jobs. So certainly we see it as unfair to the vast majority of temporary foreign workers today, and also, for example, for those who spend years in Canada. Why can they not bring their family members with them? So once again, they can bring them with them. The only thing is that, for example, the spouse of a higher skilled worker will benefit from an open work permit, whereas the spouse of a lower skilled workers will be on strict conditions for the work permit. And when it's time for the immigration officer to assess if the temporary foreign workers will be able to access, and also to pay for the family expenses, for example, certainly this criterion will be looked at very closely. So what actually we would like is some more opportunity for lower-skilled temporary foreign workers to access permanent residency if the conditions are there, if, you know, they want to make their way within this country for a longer period of time, but benefit as future citizens, not only as a temporary labor force, which is no longer temporary, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
Jessie Metcash is a professor of law in the School of International Development and Global Studies at the University of Ottawa and co-author with Paula Kinoshita of the IRPP study, The Canadian Temporary Foreign Worker Program: Do Short-Term Economic Needs Prevail Over Human Rights Concerns? The study is available free of charge from our website, www.irpp.org.